Well, good morning, everyone. Follow that. No gardener here, I'm afraid. My mother has the green fingers, not me. But I do hope we'll be able to get something from Jonah chapter 4. Could we move this slightly back, Nigel? That's great, thank you. Good. Well, where are we going to begin this morning? Well, not actually in Jonah just yet. We'll come to him in a moment. I want to begin with last year's referendum, so perhaps we could move on to the next one. Where are we going? Ah, here we are. Brexit, a year ago. Do you remember that? No, not really, do you? Well, I want to remind you of some of the comments I heard, and I'm sure you might have done about the same time. And this was this. People said to me they were just going to vote leave in the referendum because of one reason alone, and that was because of Germany. And I was just amazed at that because I'm not old enough to remember Dad's army or the Second World War, although I was brought up, like many of my generation, on war comics where all the enemies were Huns and Nazis. So there is a certain folk memory in it all, isn't there? And sometimes memories are very long. And all this came to mind when I thought about Jonah thinking about the people of Nineveh, the Assyrians, because just like people here have long memories, so many of the Israelites would have had long memories as well about the Assyrian Empire and Nineveh. Assyria was the major foreign power in the area for over 200 years. I mean, that's several lifetimes. And you can imagine how people felt about a country to the north which was so powerful and which eventually overcame the northern half of Israel, the northern kingdom as it was called, and took 10 of the 12 tribes away into exile. Now, we have no idea when Jonah was written. We could have been in any part of that period, really. But at all this time, the Assyrians were the real bogeymen of the area. They were the people that you threatened your children with. The Assyrians will come and take you away if you're naughty, you know, the kind of thing. But the ones that people really feared in the background as well. And so I want you to think about this as we're reading Jonah this morning, because it wasn't only Jonah who spoke about the Assyrians. How about this from the prophet Nahum? Some of you will never have heard of him, let alone read the book. It's a little tiny one in the middle of the 12 prophets. I'm against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. I will pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. All who see you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is in ruins. Who will mourn for her? Where can I find anyone to comfort you? That's how people felt about Nineveh, and how even God felt about Nineveh because of all that Nineveh did around this time. So you begin to understand, don't you, as we look at this book this morning, that Nineveh was not the place to forgive. Think about it, for example, today. If people in the area controlled by ISIS or Al-Qaeda are wanting you to come along and tell you to forgive other people. Let's read Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 to 4, verse 3, first of all. So this is the end of the story. You remember what was happening last week? How Jonah went to Nineveh and proclaimed that they could repent and be forgiven. And he had done that, and when God saw in chapter 3, verse 10, what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish." That's Spain, the other end of the Mediterranean. "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live." Why on earth would Jonah have emotions like that? But these were the enemies that God was offering forgiveness to. And that is what we're thinking about this morning. Who should be forgiven? Do you think Yazidis or the Christians in Mosul today feel like forgiving ISIS? Do you think the Nigerian families whose daughters were taken by Boko Haram feel like forgiving them for what they've done? Certainly, you can understand how they don't. And that's how Jonah would have been feeling about Nineveh. Because pain is raw. And it's at times like that that we don't really want to hear about forgiveness and mercy. How can you ask God to forgive someone who has done these kinds of things to you? We often feel God's mercy should be for good people, for people like us, people who deserve it. That's how we tend to feel. It's not always true. It's bad enough that innocent people suffer, isn't it? But when you see good people, when you see people getting away with evil, not good people, evil people, it raises our hackles. And that's why Jonah shouts twice at God in this chapter. It's better for me to live than to die than to live. Take away my life. It's better to be dead. And yet, we all know, don't we, that these situations have to have some kind of resolution. We've experienced it ourselves here in England, here in Britain, here in the great British Isles, where everything has been so calm for centuries. Suddenly in the 70s, an explosion happened in Northern Ireland. And we all felt the consequences as there were bombings over here as well. And the two sides there, Ian Paisley shouting no surrender and Martin McGuinness fighting with the IRA. At that time, even in our country, they were working out centuries of hatred for coming out into violence. What could be done about a situation like that? And if you stay in the situation where you're not willing to forgive, you're not willing to work together, then the violence continues. And so we find that the only way to do something about it was to get those people together. The new Good Friday Agreement was worked out very quietly. And eventually there had to be realization that hatred and resentment and refusal to forgive was no way out. And then, of course, we ended up with the Chuckle Brothers. That's what the nickname was. Imagine the shock in Northern Ireland when these two men who had been shouting and fighting each other for decades suddenly were having to work together. And they found a way forward. And it's not all perfect. But at least we know that there is a way forward in Northern Ireland at the moment. And so what we're dealing with here is real emotions. We're talking about Jonah here in the enemy, here in the desert, watching the enemy. And God has no right to be merciful to them. And so we read on in Jonah chapter 4. The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Now Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant. Notice God provided the worm. How interesting. Which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, even worse, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." And here we get the same question again. God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Is it right to be angry? That's the question sometimes we have to ask ourselves. Is it right for us to be angry? We look at a situation and we deal with it from our own feelings, our own emotions. And what God has to do for Jonah is to stop and make him rethink. And he does it by way of this very strange plant. This plant that grows up without reason and dies without reason. And what's the point of that? The point is that Jonah did not deserve the plant. He had no right to be angry. He had no claim on God's mercy. And none of us have either. Jonah had been forgiven. Remember the business right at the beginning? Remember the disobedience? Remember the story of the whole book is that Jonah himself disobeyed God and wouldn't go to Nineveh. Now, Jonah was forgiven. And so God is now asking the question, if you're a forgiven person, have you any right to withhold forgiveness from other people? And that is a real question for us all. We know, like Jonah, that the Lord is a forgiving God. I love that quotation in verse 2. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. If you look at that verse, you'll find all the way through the Old Testament the same verse in all sorts of different contexts. It's worth looking up. There's a whole study to be done on where that verse comes in the Old Testament. Slow to anger and abounding in love. Israel knew all about being forgiven many times in their history. And that is what this verse is all about. That's what this plant is all about. It's all about reminding them that they did not deserve God's mercy. They expected God's judgment, but they were forgiven. And therefore, as just as they had been forgiven, they had no right to condemn other people either. Neither Jonah, nor Israel, nor us has any right to call down punishment from God on any individual because we ourselves are broken people. We ourselves know that we need to be forgiven. What does Romans 2 chapter say? As Paul writes there, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, whose judgments are not based on truth, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? Isn't it so easy to pass judgment on people? Isn't it so easy to react from emotion? And sometimes you can't blame people for it because they're going through awful experiences themselves. Let's not try and pass judgment on those who are passing judgment either, because we've got to understand them and where they're at. But ultimately, it's only God who has the right to judge people. Jonah judges Nineveh. Israel judged the Gentiles, as you saw in Jesus' discussions with the Pharisees fairly often, and the stories in the New Testament. We have no right to judge other people. Think about the parables Jesus told. The story of the elder brother. Just imagine what it's like to be an elder brother whose younger brother comes back and is forgiven. You know the story very well indeed. But put yourself in the place of the elder brother, whose father even comes out to entreat him. Not something any father would have done in those days. And who refuses to go in, refuses to forgive. Think of the unforgiving servant, the story of the one who himself has been forgiven by the king and then goes and grabs his fellow servant by the neck and says, pay me what you owe me. And he's reported to the king and he himself suffers punishment as a result. Because unforgiveness does have its punishments. But what about us? We all get tempted, don't we? It's all self-righteousness that tempts us always. And as I stand here this morning, I look at you and I think, you're all my brothers and sisters. And yet there are times when you rub me up the wrong way. Believe that or not. I'm sure there are times when I rub you up the wrong way as well. But what do we do about it? Do we feel all self-righteous and we say, oh, well, I wouldn't do things that way, or they really shouldn't have done that to me, or whatever? Yes, we do. We are human. We come out like that. But if we let that last, then we lack love and we find that it makes things worse, not better. And so Jonah had to find a way of letting God take judgment, not himself. We have to find a way of putting aside these things and finding a way forward. Let God deal with it. In the end, compassion is what it's all about. And that's what we have to do. We have to leave the ultimate right and wrong to God. Now, this is hard because there are things in life which really do hurt. You know, we've been hearing an awful lot about people who've suffered abuse over these last years. You don't want to lessen their real hurt that they have had and the real change in their life which that hurt has brought about. So let's not dismiss it. We might just say, oh, forgive. It's not that easy. People have to be dealt with. And when people have broken the law and broken rules, then we have judges and we have a legal system and we have a way of dealing with that which has to take its effect. And people who perpetrate evil have to be punished in that way for society's good. But that is not the same as holding grudges ourselves inside against other people, which harms us as much as it does them. And so with such people who've been hurt awfully by abuse like that, we have to work really carefully, and it takes years to let that evil out of the situation in their lives, as it were, to kind of somehow release what has happened so that they are healed in their own lives. It's really hard. We live in a situation where there's plenty of voices shouting at us about how we should punish people. We get people drowning in the Mediterranean and the newspapers shout at us, migrants, how many more can we take? And you ask yourself, well, we're the third richest country in the world, and you wonder how many more we could take. You get 1 in 5 British Muslims sympathy for jihadis. Yes, because there are Syrian refugees coming in desperate situations, and we're being told to suspect them, told to look at them negatively, told to hate them. Why? Because people fear, because there is worry in the background. We live in a blame culture, and someone always has to be the scapegoat. And it's time for us in those situations, like Jonah, to step back and look at Nineveh with new eyes. Look at these people with new eyes. Look at them as fellow human beings, not as the enemy. Have to ask ourselves whether we have the right to be angry. Is it right to be angry, Jonah? Is it right to be angry, Keith? Is it for me to pass judgment on others? No, it's not. I do it. But I have to stop myself and say, that is God's right. That is not mine. And somehow then you have to find the strength, and God gives it to you, to deal with the evils of the past, to deal with the things which need forgiving, and to work forward from there into healing and into love. So as we watch the TV news, as we read the tabloids, we've got to find some way of avoiding the self-righteousness that is so often there. We have to find that we don't pass judgment on others. Stop and take time out. Look at the issues. Try to look more widely at things and not just focus on the narrow things in front of us. Because sometimes what is being peddled is just that mixture of emotion and fear and ignorance that we need to try and get away from. just as Jonah had to as well. So Jonah had a plant. I wonder what it is in your life that will remind you that you too are a forgiven sinner and that you can start again. There will be all sorts of things in your life. But let God speak to you as God spoke to Jonah with this plant. Is it right to be angry? But it's more than that, isn't it? Because God said something else at Jonah into verse 11. He said this, "Should I not have concern, compassion, real heart love for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Can you see those people, Jonah? Can you see those people in Nineveh as people who need help? Can you see them as people who live in a culture like yours and all their animals and beasts? Are you wanting them to be destroyed even though they're just like you in so many ways? And that, for me, is where we have to go at the end of the book of Jonah. We have to do more than just say, oh yes, we have no right to complain. We have no right to pass judgment. We have to go out in compassion and in concern for others as well. And that's a whole huge, huge task in itself. Paul wrote this in Romans, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." And on the contrary, says Paul, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." What opportunities will I find this week, will you find this week, to show compassion to people who are not like us, people who are difficult, people who need to be shown that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? It's only when we, the people of God, seek out those opportunities and carry them out that the name of Jesus and the words of Jesus can be carried realistically into other people's lives. Let's do it for his sake and for his glory, and it will bring healing to us and to others. Thank you.